Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 15, text 10. You're going to sit on the mat? You're sitting on a mat. You're half sitting on a mat. Better. Otherwise the stone sucks away the pran. Shastra also states that for all kinds of activities such as this, one should sit on an asan. Utkramantam sthitam vapi.
Utkramantam sthitam vapi.
Bhunjanam vagunanvitam. Vimurha nanu pashyanti. Pashyanti jnana chakshushah. Utkramantam sthitam vapi. Bhunjanam vagunanvitam.
Vimurha nanu pashyanti.
Pashyanti jnana chakshushah. Headache? Bad one? Does anyone have any balm? Headache balm, tiger balm, anything like that? You have? Yeah, please bring it. Translation. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all of this. Purport. The word jnana chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances, and he is enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. As we are going to continue today, Krishna willing, discussing our ongoing development of Varnashram communities and Gurukuls, I thought it appropriate to speak on the topic of Jnana Chakshusha, the eye of knowledge. Various points are made in this verse. Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by saying the word Jnana Chakshusha is very significant, so I'm going to concentrate on that, because education, after all, can be very simply defined as systematic imparting of knowledge. And jnana, of course, means knowledge. And chakshusha means eye. So what we're teaching is to see through the eye of knowledge. Now, this is a very different approach to religion in comparison with the Abrahamic religions. I don't know much about Judaism, but certainly Christianity and Islam, they're based on faith. Not that they don't have education and imparting of knowledge, but it's all predicated on basic unquestioning faith. For instance, in Christianity, the basic principle to be a Christian is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he came to this world to die on the cross to absolve our sins, and he is our personal Savior. So there is education. You can go to Bible school, but you learn what's in the Bible. Islam also. La ilaha wa illallah Muhammadan Rasulallah. Now I'm a Muslim. If you say that, you're supposed to be a Muslim. You have to believe that there is no God. There is no Allah but Allah. There's no God but God. And Muhammad is his prophet. But there's no understanding imparted of who we are, who is God, what is our relationship with God, why is there suffering in the material world. Some ideas have been given, which not in the Bible, but were smashed onto the Bible, what's the word, overlaid onto the Bible later on, and there's some pretty poor attempts at trying to explain why is there suffering in the world. And in Christianity, at least as I learned it, and I guess all Catholics at that time were taught that because someone a long time ago ate an apple, and that's the reason why there are wars, tsunamis, disease, death, hatred, torture. So it's not very convincing. Someone long ago ate an apple. So this the Vedic approach to what's called religion is, well, there are various levels, but at the highest level, there is Brahma Jignasa, inquiring into the ultimate nature of reality and getting answers, not just inquiring, but getting answers. So when we're talking about giving education, it means giving knowledge. By knowledge here in Bhagavad Gita, knowledge, it's different to simply amassing information or learning what's in a book, but it means to understand one's whole existential position. With the roadmap of how to improve that, understanding that I'm not in a very good position now, I have to improve that. So real knowledge begins with this, which Krishna mentions here in this verse. How we're changing from body to body. That's the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. And in this verse is also mentioned, Utkramantam, quitting the body, Stitam, how we live in a... It's more than the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita, because it's not just talking about changing bodies, but how we live in different bodies, why and how we acquire different situations. But the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yata dehe komarang yovanang jara tata dehantara praptihi. That's actually the first teaching. And then dhiras tatra namuhyati is an appendage to that. As the living being is seen as a child, then a grown person, then an old person, and then what? A dead person. There's not really any such thing as a dead person. We may say like that. But actually the point is that the person has passed on, as that's commonly said, passed on. Chalega. How do you say that in Tamil? Passed on. Gone away. Poita. So in every language you say passed on, gone away, which means that the person is different to the body. And dhiras tatra muhyati, one who is not only knowledgeable of this, but has come to terms with it, is not disturbed with the fact that he's changing bodies. He is not bewildered by this. Arjuna was bewildered, and Krishna, Hare Krishna, and Krishna, by stating this, he indicates that not only you, Arjuna, are bewildered, but everyone in this world is bewildered. Not specifically about the point that Arjuna was bewildered about, but about their whole existence. So this is the real knowledge begins with this understanding of how we're changing from body to body. We have to understand that through the teachings or through knowledge. You have to understand that. Oh, I'm getting upset. Whoops, I shouldn't be. I should be dhira and not bewildered. Maybe we need a change of sound system. It's old and dying. Euthanize it and get a new one. Euthanize it means take it to the top of the building and throw it off. Okay, we need an expert here to take it out and plug it back in again. Whoops. Even the best of doctors can't save a man who is destined to die. A ghost in the machine. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm going to change it. There's no battery.
No better than this one.
Oh, that speaker is better than this one. So the next thing, we have to purchase our whole sound system. Then we have a whole road show, and then we need roadies to set it up, travel around with us. Maybe we have to buy our own plane also to... What's that? Palace for studying Bhagavad Gita. You have to have a... Oh! That was the last gasp. That was the new... That's crying at birth. Probably sounds similar. You cry as you die and you cry as you get born again. You cry throughout life. whole life is crying. Okay, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, bless the baby. They'll have a long, happy, what is that, Niramayam Bhava, healthy life. Just wait a second. Ah, Dhira, be Dhira. Okay, we're all ready to roll on again with the imparting of knowledge. So, see, knowledge seen through the eye of knowledge. We've seen through so many eyes. Now I'm seeing through these eyes. Previously I saw through cat's eyes, dog eyes, fish eyes, insect eyes. So many kinds of eyes, demigod eyes. But through whatever eyes we see in material existence, we see everything. How? Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam. We see what is favorable for my sense gratification and what is unfavorable for it. And that's how we understand the world. This is called the ajnana chakshu, the eye of ignorance, thinking that everything in this world is meant for our pleasure. In terms of ahara nidra bhaya maitun, if there's an opportunity for eating, very good. If there's something that's going to give me pain, then very bad. Prahlad Maharaj, he has described about education. He was asked by his father about his education. So in the course of giving those instructions, it's interesting because his formal education was in Samabheda Dana Danda. So the first of those things is to be very diplomatic and pacify those who are against you. But he wasn't interested in that. He wasn't at all diplomatic in speaking to Hiranyakashipu. He was very straightforward, telling him that Hidvarta patam grihamandakupam. They give up this the well of household life that you've fallen into. He's very, very straightforward in speaking to him. So it. One of the things he said was, Nadevidu swartagatinghi vishnum durashe ye bahirata maninas. Tipisha tantra murudamni badha. Last line? That is the last line. Yet andhayatandai. That's the important point here. Andhayatandai rupaniyamarnas. Tipisha tantra murudamni badha. People do not know that the goal of life is Vishnu. They have hope after hope after hope, which all come to naught because they identify with everything external. And this is the point about education, that someone who is blind is teaching someone else who is blind. And in this way they become, by education, they become bound up more and more, very tightly. In material existence. But our education is meant for the opposite. And human life is meant for that, as Prahlad also says. Komaram, you. Acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha. Durlabhang marnusham janma tadapya dhruvamartatam. Human life is meant for this kind of education, that how can we get free from birth and death? It should be utilized for that. This is the value of human life. It's short, but there's the opportunity to impart this education. Now, imparting education means giving knowledge. That is the opportunity of human life. In human life, as in animal life, there is eating, sleeping, fearing, sex. But this special prerogative of human life is the opportunity to acquire knowledge, without which one is just an animal. Now, animals can also acquire knowledge. They do acquire knowledge. For instance, an animal knows, this is my wife, this is my food, these are my children, these are my enemies. The bird knows the cat is my enemy. No one taught it. He knows. So what does it mean that the difference between human life and animal life is knowledge? It means it's a different kind of knowledge. Different kind of knowledge altogether. Otherwise, the knowledge of how to, for instance, become an engineer so you can get a job, so you can get money to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, it's in the same category as the knowledge that the animals have. So when it's stated here, jnano hitesham, that this human life, the opportunity is there for knowledge, it means a different kind of knowledge. And it's not only a different kind of knowledge, but the manner of imparting it is different also. You can learn by reading books certain things. Certain things you have to study under others, but this knowledge, to acquire it, requires that one follows dharma. Atato brahma jignyasa. Atato. Now, this term now has been explained by different acharyas. One of the understandings imparted is that now that you've followed dharma, it's not that anyone can just pop up out of anywhere and be admitted into a school for studying about Brahma, the ultimate reality. There are some prerequisites for entering. So of course, another rendering of that verse, and the one that Srila Prabhupada always taught to us, is Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maitunam Cha Samanime Tat Pashubhyanaranam Dharmo Hitesham Adhiko Vishesham Dharmena Hina Pashubhyanaranam. The difference between human life and animal life is the opportunity to pursue dharma, which is wrongly understood in modern Indian languages as religion, religion meaning a kind of faith and faith and consequential cultural system to go with it. But here, dharma, of course the word dharma has many meanings, but is many, many nuances within its meaning, let's say that. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. So dharma, dhiras tatrana muhyati, dhira, one who is sober in his consciousness, is not disturbed by seeing the changes of the body and the last change of the body, which is death. So how does one become dhira? Well, then one has to control the senses. One, without controlling the senses, one is not eligible for understanding this knowledge. without following the whole process of dharma, one is not eligible for understanding this knowledge. One may theoretically understand it, but one cannot realize it. Therefore, Lord Krishna, we find in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes what is knowledge, and it doesn't seem to be knowledge per se. Krishna says, Amanit vama dambit vama hingsa kshantir arjavam acharyo pasanang shocham staryam atma vinigraha indriya teshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityujara vyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam asakti rana bishvanga putra dara grihadi shu nityam cha samachittatvam ishta nishto papatyashu mai chananya yogena bhakti yogena bhakti ravya bicharani vivikta desha sevit vama ratya jana sangsati adhyatma jnana nityadvam tatva jnana tadarshanam etad jnanam iti proktam jnanam yadatonyata. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. So these are what the conditions which have been mentioned are both prerequisites for, or in the initial stage, prerequisites for understanding spiritual knowledge, and at a developed stage they are symptoms also. Humility, for here the word is given, amanitvam. So that is a prerequisite for having knowledge, not by challenging. One has to accept with humility. But then vidya dadati vinayam. When one has knowledge, then he becomes humble. So humility is required to get knowledge, and knowledge gives humility. That's initial submission and then full realization. There are different levels of that. So basically, what Krishna is stating, this is not possible. All these qualities, that's not possible without adopting dharma. So the method of imparting knowledge is different also. It's based on acharyopasanam. It's not that you can simply study and learn and you get it, but rather yasya deva para bhakti yata deva tata guru tasyaite katita hiarta prakashante mahatmanah divya gyan hride prakashito. The knowledge is revealed within the heart to one who has firm faith in guru and Krishna. So the knowledge is revealed. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna within the heart reveals that knowledge. At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks so much about the need for self-control, sense control. When Arjuna asks Krishna about the siddhi, one who is situated in intelligence, which is a synonym of dhira, one who is steady and sober. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan pata manogatam. What's the next line? Atmanatyatmanas. Everyone speaks together. Okay. Stitta pragya stadochate. Stitta di stitta pragya. So, first, he's giving up the desires for sense enjoyment. So it is possible to become very learned in all kinds of subjects, and even theoretically in Vedic knowledge, without following this path of submission to an acharya who teaches humility, who teaches self-control, not just from the books, or not just verbally, but subjects the disciple to discipline in such a way that their senses become controlled, and then that they're able to receive that knowledge by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So theoretically one can get knowledge by studying books, but practically it is revealed to persons who submit to the process given by Krishna. And then one sees the world differently. What do you see? Do you see all different colors, or your vision extends into the infrared and ultraviolet range? How do you see differently? It's conceptually it is different. Shraddha mayo yang purusha yo yat shraddha sa eva saha. Shraddha here, as I understand it, largely means one's worldview, how one sees the world. According to one's level of consciousness, one sees the world in different ways. When we're talking about sattva-gun, rajo-gun, tamagun, that can be identified by different activities, but it means a level of consciousness. So one sees the world differently. In sattva-gun and sattvam yad brahma darshanam, sattva-gun is favorable for acquiring vision of Brahman. One sees the world through understanding everything in relationship with Brahma, the Supreme Reality. In Rajogun, then, anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam, what is favorable for my sense gratification and what isn't. That's how he sees everything. Or maybe that's extended for the benefit of the whole human race or whatever. But it's the basic understanding is that we're here to enjoy this world. And in tamogun, one just sees hopelessness everywhere. So a devotee or someone who's got this jnana chakshu, the eye of knowledge, they see the same things as other people see, but they see it quite differently. Therefore, Krishna speaks of the self-controlled, how they see the world differently. What is that verse, end of chapter 2? The self-controlled. What is night? Yanisha sarva-bhutanam tasyang jargati sangyami. Sangyami, it means one who has controlled his senses. It also may be a little hint of the word yamini, maybe. Maybe it's just giving a little hint of that. What do you think? Yamini means night also, right? Yasyang jagati bhutani sa nisha pashyato manaha. What is night for the self-controlled is day for the unself-controlled, and vice versa. So seeing the same things, but seeing it differently. So a person in knowledge, that means someone who's been taught something and who understands it, sees things differently. For instance, a person in ignorance sees the sun and maybe thinks that the sun changes colors, because just when the sun is rising, the sun is usually red and it looks bigger, so it changes colors, changes the size, changes the intensity of heat and light given out during the course of the day. But a person that, by sense perception, it would be quite reasonable to presume that the sun changes color and size and intensity of heat and light given out during the day. And maybe the sun dies, and there's a new sun every day. Or the sun goes to sleep. By sense perception, we might think that. But one who's trained in knowledge knows knowledge of the sun, although they both physically see the same thing, they see something different, in the sense that one sees with understanding and the other sees with understanding, but it's a wrong understanding, it's ignorance. So similarly with the change of bodies. One, this is being discussed here, one who sees through the eye of knowledge understands that a person doesn't die because a person never dies. We say that person died, but that's because we think the person is the body. But a person in knowledge knows that no one ever dies. It's Sanjeev Gupta died. Well, Sanjeev Gupta didn't die because Sanjeev Gupta never existed. That was just a designation given to the body that was enlivened by, literally enlivened, by a spirit soul that was inhabiting the body that identified with the whole tangle of upadhis or designations that went with that. I'm Sanjeev Gupta, I'm a merchant, I live in Kanpur and I'm 29 years old and this is my wife, these are my, it's a whole bag of upadhis, but it, there's no real existence. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sata. And then again that comes, upayor api drishtam tas, tvanayos tatvadarshi bihi. Again the same thing. One who knows, one who sees with the eye of knowledge, or they see with the, tatvadarshi, very similar to jnana chakshur. So they know, they see that what is real, what is eternal, what is not eternal, and they differentiate. But those who don't have that knowledge and understanding, they simply see in terms of unreal designations. A person who trusts what he can see, he doesn't believe in transmigration. Doesn't accept it. Can't see it, don't believe it. So if a person in knowledge may say to him that, well, actually the sun doesn't change size. What do you mean? Every day you see the sun changes size. Everyone can see. Isn't it? Seems very reasonable to say that the sun changes size, changes color, changes intensity of light and heat. Everyone experiences every day. But that is a wrong understanding. Okay, time for a break. Hare Krishna. So a person who's... Hare Krishna. A person who sees through the eye of knowledge may not physically see how the spirit soul leaves a body and enters another one. physically he may see the same thing as a person who doesn't have the eye of knowledge, or who has he has eyes but he has the eye of ignorance. He sees through ignorance, through his wrong understanding. But he won't be shaken by the protestations of someone who says, no, there's no change of body. It just died, that's all. We didn't see any soul or any such thing. Just like a person who has knowledge of the factual situation of the sun is not swayed by someone who says that the sun is born every morning and dies every evening, or ceases to exist every evening. Not swayed by that, because it's on a higher level of understanding. At the same time, it may be very difficult to convince people who don't know or who don't want to know. That's Prahlad Maharaj before that, Nate Vidu verse, he spoke, Matya na krishne paratasvatova. People who are determined not to know Krishna won't know him, because they're determined not to do so. So this jnana chakshu word is used here in Bhagavad Gita, and that practically that at one level it translates into shastra chakshu. They're synonymous, because shastra gives knowledge. Veda means knowledge. It may not exactly be the same, or there are levels of understanding through shastra. In the beginning, shastra chakshu, it's like wearing glasses. If people wear glasses, at least when I was going to school, then they would unkindly be called four eyes. Do you have that also? Four eyes. You have two plus two eyes. It's actually, that should be something better if you actually had four eyes. But it's said as a kind of insult. But the point is that it's accepted that the vision of my eyes are imperfect, therefore I need modification. I need these extra eyes to modify my vision so that I can see things as they are. One's basic vision is through one's physical eyes, but that is modified by seeing through glasses. We know that our eyes are defected and we agree to use glasses. So seeing through shastra is something like that. We see, but we need to get that vision modified. But full jnana chakshu means when we don't need to see through glasses. With these very eyes, we can see things as they are. That is considered the highest form of understanding, or pramana, vaidusha pratyaksha. The vision, the direct vision of people who actually know. And there are many suggestions of that within our Vaishnav literature. Bishoy charya kobe shuddha hobe man tobe hamaherebo Sri Vrindavan. When I give up all desires for sense gratification and my mind is completely purified, then I can actually see Vrindavan. Then there's some, I made a note of there. Nayane Haribo, Brajapura Shobha, Nitta Chidanandamai, Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks of when he enters his spiritual body, he will directly see the beauty of Vrajapura, the land of Vrindavan, which is eternal and full of spiritual bliss. So those who, that is actual seeing. Through Shastra Gyan, there can be, as long as we're seeing through Shastra Gyan, there is a problem because we're seeing through this eye and we're imposing something else. In other words, we have our own outlook. Shadhamayo yang purusha yo yach chadhasa evasa. We have our own way of looking at the world, but we think, no, I need to get that modified. Okay, I'll get that from Shastra. But any time we can take it off, and we may think that I'm seeing things properly. These glasses, they impair my vision. When we don't need glasses, when we can see clearly through the eyes, that is perfect vision. So if we need always to refer to Shastra, which is proper, it's not that Shastra isn't proper knowledge, but the point is when we fully realize that, and we don't need Shastra to bolster our faith in Krishna, that we live in Krishna, we directly experience Krishna. And for such a person, then they also, it's not that they don't speak Shastra, because Shastra is giving knowledge of Krishna, but they speak Shastra to help others to come to the right vision. For them, it's just like Prabhupada, he doesn't have to engage in arguments to understand that there is the Supreme Personality of God, and then his name is Krishna. He's experiencing that. Pratyakshavagaman dharmyam. He's directly experiencing that. But to help us understand, just like the teacher understands or can understand something very clearly, but he teaches it to the students through the standard method and tries to convince them. Seeing through Shastra can be problematic also. In another way, if we go to a quack optician who gives us the wrong prescription, we go to a bogus guru who teaches us Shastra and thinks that I'm giving very good knowledge, and they're giving knowledge, they're teaching Veda and everything. But because they don't have the vision of what Shastra is pointing us at, Vedaisya sarvairahameva vedyaha, they don't have that, pointing toward Krishna. Therefore, again we come to andhaya tandai rupaniya manas, that the blind are leading the blind. They've got some glasses, but the glasses are all black. Well, they may not be fully black, they may be pink, or they're just, the prescription is wrong, and so we get blurred, and instead of seeing things as they are, we see things all pink or blue or green, depending on the color that's put. Sometimes the prescription, if you get the wrong prescription, things may become more blurred than with your eyes. So it's very important to get the right kind of doctor, or in this case, guru. So Shastra Chakshu, or seeing through the eyes of Shastra, indicates how we can actually come to the platform being fully Jnana Chakshu. They're not necessarily the same thing. Actual Shastra Chakshu and actual Jnana Chakshu are the same thing. So our aim in imparting education is not in and of itself to make pundits, or to teach them Sanskrit, or to teach the Vedas, or to teach Srimad Bhagavatam. Mayavadis can also teach Srimad Bhagavatam, but the aim is to make them devotees, which is possible even without studying Srimad Bhagavatam. It's possible to be a devotee without studying Srimad Bhagavatam, just by chanting Hare Krishna in good association. Generally, we're not undermining study of Srimad Bhagavatam here, but that is possible. And it's possible to study Srimad Bhagavatam and be a demon. That's quite possible. So our aim in impart education is to make devotees people who are fully dedicated to Krishna, who have the clear understanding that our only purpose of life is to serve Krishna. But in the Gurukul education, we're particularly trying to give knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam also, which gives knowledge of Krishna, developing on the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, and helps us to understand Krishna, and is required for preaching Krishna consciousness. But the point in being Jnana Chakshu is that there's no difference between what they learn, what is in Shastra, and what they understand. There's no difference, there's no gap, there's no doubt. Fully convinced. It's not that we're just trying to convince people with logic, but they actually experience that. They have this. They may have very developed knowledge of the teachings of Bhagavatam, but their simple, basic faith is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they don't need a logical, philosophical construct to keep their faith strong, but the natural faith and conviction in Krishna, which Srila Prabhupada imparted to his disciples, his own direct experience of Krishna consciousness that convinced so many, because it was clear that he was experiencing something well beyond them, and that by his spiritual potency he was imparting that. When devotees first came to him, they didn't know anything about this spiritual knowledge. He gradually imparted that. It wasn't just some kind of electric shock transferal of spiritual energy, but he taught them to solidify and develop the initial attraction that they had to Krishna by being attracted to his, Srila Prabhupada's own very much attractiveness. So there's a difference between experiencing Krishna directly and knowing Krishna directly and saying I accept this because Shastra says it. There's a difference. For one who's fully realized, there's no difference between what he thinks and what he perceives and what's in Shastra. But for someone who's trying to come to that level, then there may be a gap. And of course there will always be a gap, because we are limited living beings, and we can't know everything. So when we hear that Krishna has 16,108 wives, we just accept. When we hear Shastric descriptions of the cosmos, we accept. We don't try to understand it with our limited mind and intelligence, understanding that Krishna's mind and intelligence is correct, and it unlimitedly surpasses ours. So there's no difference between, for Jnana Chakshu, and the full understanding means there's no difference between what we might say their theoretical knowledge and their direct perception and experience, and they're right on the point. They're not the, there may be many people who are convinced, but convinced about the wrong thing. So that's not helpful. It has to be to the right point. Vigyaya pragyam kurvita. This from Brihadaranyaka. That's quoted by Baladev Vidyabhushan in his commentary on Vedanta Sutras. One should understand Brahma, the Supreme, and thus, actually it's very difficult to translate exactly, the word pragya is translated as wisdom. realization, something like that. But by acquiring knowledge, one has to come to the platform of realization. Otherwise, just simply learning. Seeing Jnana Chakshu, that's antadrishti, that's a term also used there. Internal seeing, our internal compass, being fully convinced. So in our educational programs, where we want to produce pure devotees who are fully convinced of Krishna and fully knowledgeable also. Fully knowledgeable means to the extent that we can be knowledgeable enough to combat all wrong ideas in the world. Kevaladvaitavad, all different wrong ideas and all kinds of different attacks which come up on the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this we have to keep very clearly in mind, that I myself have been promoting that the Sanskrit has to be taught. But at the same time, we should know that studying Sanskrit can be bewildering unless one is under proper guidance. And it can be attractive in itself because it's fascinating and one can become intellectually stuck on the intellectual platform of taking pleasure in the language itself or in the use of language, as in kavya. It can be very pleasing, but that's not on the spiritual level of pleasing Krishna. We can be fascinated by knowledge for the sake of knowledge, amassing more and more information. Even it can be good information, shlokas and so many things. But the whole sense of this education is Krishnarte Akhila Cheshta. Everything is done for Krishna's pleasure. And whether I'm Digvijay Pandit. Vaishnavas don't try to be Digvijay Pandits, conquering the world with your great scholarship. They don't have any such ambition. Although for the sake of establishing Krishna consciousness, they are prepared to meet all different kinds of people. But they're not trying to show themselves off how learned they are. So the students should also understand that they're learning, but learning is not just for the sake of learning and amassing information, but becoming fixed at Krishna's lotus feet as his servant, willing to do his service in this world, whatever is required. So many shastras can be studied. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence. But even Srimad Bhagavatam, we see through the eye of Shastra, but for all members of ISKCON, we have to see through Bhagavad Gita, all followers of Srila Prabhupada, we have to see everything through Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's seeing through this, then we can see, we can understand everything else that Srila Prabhupada teaches. Bhagavatam is very advanced knowledge, Chaitanya Charitamrita, but first understand this very thoroughly. Understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. That is the best education. Kimanyai Shastra Vistarai. What need is there for studying? So if one can understand Gita, then what need is there of studying other shastras in detail? What's the answer to that? Then why study Bhagavatam? May not be required, but then when Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhaktaha, think of me, then we can learn about Krishna, who he is, how to think of him. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the introduction to his rendering of Srimad Bhagavatam, by going through the first 9 cantos very carefully, one will become a fully God-realized person and equipped to rebut the onslaughts of atheists. And of course, tatshrinvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. It's very relishable to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And by hearing satang prasangan mama virya sangvido, with that Krishna's virya sangvad, announcement of his glories, bhavanti hritkarna, is very, very pleasing, rasayana kataha, and very helpful. Tajoshwana rashva pavargavatmani helps us advance on the path. Shraddha ratya bhakti anukramishati. So by saying that, there's no need to study any other shastra in detail. Actually, Bhagavatam should be studied. It's the natural progression from Gita. Hare Krishna. Anything anyone like to say? Question, comment? Yeah.
This Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari.
This
Gyan Chakshusha word is used for Uttam Adhikari?
Yeah, the Shastra Yukte Sunipun Dridha Shraddha Ja. Both the Madhyam Adhikari have Dridha Shraddha. They both have firm faith. But Shastra Yukte Anipun Dridha Shraddha Ja. Madhyam Adhikari say? What is it? No, I'm getting mixed up with the. Madhyam Adhikari say, and then what's the last line? Borobhagyavan, Mahabhagyavan. Mahabhagyavan, they say. I can't remember. Shastra Yukte Shunipun, Dridha Shraddha Ja. Madhyam Adhikari say, Mahabhagyavan. Then Uttam Adhikari, Shastra Yukte Shunipun, most expert in discussing according to Shastra. And has firm faith. Uttamadhikari say he can deliver the whole world. Tariye shangsha. So that distinction is given.
The nature of soul is the Satchitanandamaya. So the word chid appears in that. So, doesn't mean that the soul in its original position is aware of the all the spiritual variegated needs of Krishna.
In the spiritual, in the liberated position, chit, is the soul aware of
all the spiritual variegatedness?
Not necessarily. Will be to the extent that that is suitable for his service. It may be an impediment in his service or her service. That's specifically mentioned about the Vrajavasis. They're not very philosophically astute. They're not educated, but they love Krishna. Of course, they come as Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. But in the Vrajalila, they're not. They don't manifest or demonstrate deep philosophical knowledge. They possess it? They can possess it to the degree that Krishna wants them to. And that's orchestrated by Krishna's lila shakti or yoga maya, just suitable for their service to him. They know as much as Krishna wants them to know, or as is suitable for their service.
Rupa, of course, there is a kinkara word comes.
Kinkara?
Shastras, etc.
Saravidhi Nishedasya, Etaya Eva Kinkara. Smartavya Satyam Vishnu Vishtavya Najatu Kit. All the rules and regulations are servants of this one. To always think of Vishnu, always remember him, and never forget him. There are so many statements. What is that? That Rig Veda Tas Yajur Veda Sama Veda Piyatarvanaha Adhitas Tena Yenaktvam Harir Et Yaksharadvam. Whoever says the two syllables ha ri, it's understood he studied Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda. Ha ri. Okay, close the Gurukul. That comes also in the Aho Bhata Svapacha Togari and Yajivagre Vartate Nama Turbyante Pastapaste Juhovo Asta Sasnuraya Brahmanucha Nama Grinanti Yete. So, same thing as said. You were going to ask something?
One of your lectures made an amazing point. He said this verse,
Kayena Manasa Buddhya Kevalair Indriya Kayena Manasa Buddhya Kevalair Indriya Rapi Yoginam Karma Korvanti Sangam Tyaktva
Sangam
Tyaktva
Atma
Shuddhaya. Atma Shuddhaya, yeah.
He said that if the spirit should mean the study of Shastras and everything should be for the purpose of purification.
Yeah, everything is meant for the practice of purification. Study, service, consciously for the sake of purification.
So then you said that one will remain humble and it's natural by his endeavor you will be humble and you will not be puffed up. And
if we remember that we're here for the sake of purification, then we'll naturally remain humble and not become swollen-headed by getting some Shastric knowledge. Will naturally remain humble because purification means purification from the misconception Ishvaro ham aham bhogi siddho ham balavan sukhi. Thinking I'm so great, I'm so wonderful. Dambha dharpo abhimana, the first symptoms mentions of the demons, and for the devotees. Yeah, dambha dharpa abhimana, pride, arrogance, and conceit. And for devotees, they begin with amanitvam, adambitvam, not desiring honor for oneself, amanitvam, adambitvam, not being arrogant. That's a different approach altogether. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyas chakripa sindhubhyavacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.
So because Swami Ji, yeah.